Summary, December 22, 2025. An Ecumenical Disease. Clergy Protecting Clergy by Rodolfo Soriano Nunez investigates the persistent, cross-denominational problem of institutional cover-up of sexual abuse within Christian churches. The article argues that, regardless of theological differences, both Anglican and Catholic institutions share a disease. Clergy and church leaders systematically protect each other, often at the expense of victims and the integrity of their organizations. The narrative begins with the Church of England, where Archbishop-designate Sarah Mullally faces a crisis similar to that which forced her predecessor, Justin Welby, to resign. A 2020 abuse complaint by Survivor Inn was ignored for 5 years, roughly 1,800 days, due to administrative errors, and the institution imposed a gag order on the victim while shielding senior clergy. The scandal is compounded by the tragic suicide of Alan Griffin, a former Anglican and later Catholic priest who was subjected to a secretive and poorly managed investigation that left him isolated and uninformed about the allegations against him. The situation is now a major scandal since Michelle Burns, a former lay member of the board responsible for addressing abuse cases in the Anglican Diocese of London, became a prominent voice in exposing the failures of the Church of England's safeguarding processes. During her tenure, Burns witnessed firsthand the institutional reluctance to confront abuse allegations transparently and effectively. The persistent unwillingness of church leaders to address the issues led her to develop severe mental health struggles, including suicidal ideation. In a candid interview with Channel 4 News, Burns revealed that the emotional toll of working within a system resistant to change culminated in a suicide attempt during Easter. Her decision to speak publicly about her experience meant violating a non-disclosure agreement imposed by Anglican leaders, but she felt compelled to highlight how confidentiality and secrecy can become weapons against victims and even those tasked with protecting them. Burns's story underscores the profound personal cost of institutional opacity and the urgent need for transparency and accountability within religious organizations. The article highlights how these failures are not isolated, but rather symptomatic of a broader institutional culture that prioritizes reputation over justice. The piece draws parallels to the Catholic Church, focusing on cases in Mexico and Paraguay. In Mexico, survivor Javier Fernando Alcantara Cruz continues to seek justice for abuse suffered as a child at the hands of a Piarist priest, Miguel Flores Martinez. The narrative details how institutional responses, both ecclesiastical and civil, have been slow, opaque, and often more concerned with protecting reputations than supporting victims. In Paraguay, the case of Juan Rafael Fleitas Lopez, an oblate priest accused of abuse, illustrates the geographic solution, moving accused clergy between countries or parishes to avoid accountability. The Oblates of Mary Immaculate, a Catholic religious order originally founded in France, have faced widespread allegations of sexual abuse by priests across multiple continents. Their history is particularly notorious in Canada, where oblate priests played a central role in the operation of residential schools for First Nations children. Decades of investigations and survivor testimonies have revealed systemic abuse, neglect, and cover-ups, leading to public apologies and ongoing efforts for reconciliation. The order's legacy of abuse extends beyond Canada, with documented cases in Latin America and other regions, highlighting a troubling pattern of moving accused priests between parishes and countries, a practice often referred to as the geographic solution. In Paraguay, recent scandals have brought renewed attention to the oblate's handling of abuse allegations. Priests such as Juan Rafael Fleitas Lopez have been accused of sexual misconduct, and instead of facing accountability, were transferred to new assignments, sometimes in different countries. This approach has left victims and their families feeling marginalized and ignored, while church authorities have been criticized for prioritizing institutional reputation over justice. The persistence of these patterns underscores the urgent need for transparency, external oversight, and meaningful support for survivors within the Catholic Church. The article also references broader patterns, such as the involvement of U.S.-based conservative groups in shaping church politics and anti-LGBTQ sentiment in the Global South, and the recent allegations against Jesuit priest Gael Giroux in France. Ultimately, the piece contends that secrecy and self-policing protocols have failed, turning churches into systems that protect abusers and exhaust victims. The author calls for transparency and external accountability as the only effective remedies, warning that without them, religious institutions risk destroying themselves and betraying their core missions.